The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
But first, ramping up housing supply has been one of the key policies when it comes to tackling the current crisis. But with the focus primarily on building more houses, do we have enough water to actually supply them? Last week, it was revealed that thousands of new homes in Dublin are at risk because Uisce Éireann needs tens of billions of euro in investment. Experts are now expressing their concerns that the lack of water on this island will cripple any future housing policies. Now, one of those experts is Lorcan Sir, a lecturer in housing at the Technological University Dublin, and Lorcan is on the line now. Lorcan, good morning.
Morning, Pat.
Now, we have lots of water, we know that. It comes, I forget which politician said, it doesn't come from the sky. Well, actually it does. That's where it starts. And then we process it and we use it in various ways. So we have plenty of water, if you like, arriving on our shores, but it's what we do with it then that seems to be the problem.
Yeah, exactly. So, and what more likely, Pat, or more realistic, what we haven't done with it seems to be the problem. So the issue is that we have a plan to deliver at least 50,000 brand new houses a year to satisfy unmet need over the decades, but we only have enough water to service about 30 to 35,000 of those houses. So when we're talking about water supply, we mean clean water coming into your taps and for your shower, and then of course we have to process wastewater going out already. So out from those houses. So Irish Water or Uisce Éireann have said that they can only supply 30 to 35,000 new houses a year. The government are insisting that we're going to deliver 50,000, so there's a gap. Now, part of the problem is that in 2013, Irish Water was formed and it inherited the pipe network, and the average age of our pipes, water pipes in Ireland, most of which are underground, is 75 years old, and they're incredibly leaky. So we're leaking around 37% of all the water that comes through from, you know, the reservoirs in Vartry and wherever. We're leaking about 37% of that every day, which is a huge amount. And Tralee, I picked on Tralee. I did an interview on Radio Kerry recently and I looked at Tralee, and Tralee is losing about 6.5 million litres of water a day, which is enough water to supply a town twice the size of Tralee. So we have serious issues there. And that's all those issues, as I'm sure you know, come from, you know, not investing in it over the years.
All right. Now we can blame Uisce Éireann. That's what the government does. It's a handy a scapegoat, I suppose. And then Uisce Éireann can say quite rightly, hang on, we inherited a mess from all the local authorities. And the local authorities say, not our fault. Central government took away our rates and put in a property tax. And we simply, they don't give us enough money. They never gave us enough money to do the job of maintaining the infrastructure. So where does the blame lie?
Probably everybody is right there. I mean, I think Uisce Éireann are not perfect, and I think they'd admit that themselves, but they did inherit a mess. And I think the local authorities are probably right. And ultimately, Pat, if you trace it back, I think, and it's the same in housing, a lot of this comes back to two things. One, a fear of making hard decisions and then actually investing in things, because that costs money. So it's the same in social housing as in water. And also, I think the second part of it, the component to this, and again, the same as in housing, they expected the private sector to step in, that the private sector was going to step in and take this burden off their shoulders. Now, that has happened hugely in housing over the last 30 years, where the majority of our private and public housing is now delivered by the private sector. But they expected it when Irish Water was formed as well, that some sort of private entity, as in the UK, would step in and they would take on the burden of debt and charge users, which is why we all got our water meters outside our houses. But that didn't happen in water, so the state got stuck with it, essentially. And again, I mean, it's hard choices, Pat. You know, if you're in government, you know, are we going to give billions, 10 billion or whatever Uisce Éireann is looking for at the moment, or are we going to hand it out to developers or hand it out tax breaks?
The first question is, are we collecting enough water? Now, we know, as you've pointed out, that we're leaking it away. So we're processing water at some cost and then leaking it away. So that is a problem. But are we collecting enough? I mean, we have sufficient catchment areas for water to do the job for Ireland going forward if we didn't have the leaks?
Yeah, that's a good question, because as in housing, water is very geographically specific. You know, it's very spatially specific. So in the west of Ireland, yeah, we have enough water, and a lot of water for housing in the west of Ireland or in the south and west of Ireland will come from wells and group schemes and things like that, which is fine. In the east of the country, and of course, they get more rainwater in the west of the country as well. In the east of the country is where most of the demographic and economic development is happening. The greater Dublin area, so Meath, Kildare, Dublin and Wicklow, has 40 80% of the population, it also gets a lot less rain. So the problem is that where we have the most kind of demographic and economic growth, we're having less rain and we don't have enough water. And in the west of the country, there are fewer people and more water. So the plan then, you know, the big infrastructural plan is to, are like the Ardna Crush of the 21st century, is to bring a huge pipe from Partine Basin near Bird Hill in Limerick up to the greater Dublin area, bringing 350 million litres of water a day to that. But that's been going on for decades, and it'll probably be another decade before it's even.
But it is the solution, because you point out the unique vulnerability of Dublin depending on the River Liffey.
Yeah, so the Greater Dublin area we use about 550 million litres of water a day in the Greater Dublin area, and our capacity, that's about 98% capacity, right? So one good rugby match and everybody at halftime runs out to put on the kettle to get a cup of tea or whatever, and there might be no water in the taps, you know? We're at that level of precarity. So we need all this kind of more water to come. But even still, even if you're bringing another 350 million litres of water a day to the Greater Dublin area, we're still quite close to the edge. You know, we'll still be living quite close to the edge. Now, what will happen there is Irish Éireann will most likely reduce the pressure in taps rather than, you know, not seeing any water at all coming out of your taps. They'll most likely reduce pressure. But I think they're hoping that the Bird Hill or the Partine Basin pipe, along with more investment in reducing the leakage, will kind of just keep us our head above water, literally our head above water.
Now, the question of processed water, we know that we have storm water that comes when, you know, the rain comes off our roofs. Now, we should be collecting that. We know we should be using that maybe for certainly watering the garden and maybe also using it in our washing machines and so on, but we're not doing that. So the question of storm water being sent to the processing plants, even though it could actually be diverted straight in, rather than being treated as sewage water, which it's not.
Yeah, I mean, we're one of the only countries that I know of that uses, you know, water from the mains to flush our loos. You know, that which is kind of bizarre. Really, we should be using rainwater to do that kind of thing. And there are things called rainwater harvesting kits and downpipe harvesting kits that are available and should be mandatory in every new house, whereby rainwater is put into a water butt, it's called, or a big barrel, basically, or a tank, and can be used then for flushing loos and things that you don't really need uber clean water for. And one of the issues there, you're right, so we're using water for that, and then that has to go and get processed in the wastewater treatment plants. But the other thing I noticed recently was, you know, this proposal for shed sits for, you know, for everybody to be allowed to put something in their back water. Like, one of the biggest issues there, it's a very simplistic idea, but one of the big issues there is going to be the runoff water from things like that into the storm drains, you know, and how cities in particular areas with lots of concrete would cope with that. And that's
you're talking about, because there's more hard surfaces collecting water instead of being absorbed like a sponge into the grass or whatever. That grass is now covered by a shed.
Yeah, and it's an issue for people putting, and I'm guilty of this myself, you know, taking out the front garden and putting in a driveway so you can park something. It's a real issue for, you know, city councils in particular, that instead of the water being absorbed into grass and into mesh, that it runs off into the sewer.
And in fact, there are solutions, aren't there? I mean, if you have some sort of a base that is permeable and then you put gravel, you can have small stone gravel or larger stone gravel, the water will make its way down through that rather than a hard concrete driveway or tarmacadam driveway where the water has to go into the drain.
Yeah, there are, absolutely. And I mean, I put my hand up myself as being possibly, I shouldn't be saying this live on radio, but lazy in that I went for the concrete option rather than the more complicated option. But where you'll see, it's also good in cities, you'll see it around the back of Collins Barracks and those places. People are familiar with that on Arbour Hill in Dublin. The council have put in, instead of letting the rainwater run down the streets and into the drainage, they've put in this bio drainage where there's plants and the rainwater gets filtered into that to feed the plants. So there's loads of really clever solutions out there that, you know, landscape architects and that we'll all know about, but we're not promoting them enough, and therefore we're wasting even more water that we don't need to.
So are there any kind of quicker solutions than fixing all the leaks? And our leakage is very high in European terms, not that adrift, I believe, of some of our local authorities across the water who also have old Victorian drains that they've been trying to replace. But, you know, what is an acceptable level of leakage? You might say zero, but that's not real life.
No, it very much depends on your infrastructure. Irish Water's plan, Irish Garen's plan, is to get it down to 25% by 2030. I mean, when you're dealing with a network of thousands of kilometres of pipes, you know,
that are an average age of 75 years old, you're never going to get that anywhere near zero. I mean, the solutions are obviously like behavioural and ad campaigns and getting people to, you know, not keep the tap running when you're brushing your teeth and all that kind of stuff. I think in the Irish context, they only go so far. The obvious solution is to tax water usage, basically to charge for it. And we know that that didn't go down too well 10 or 12 years ago when it was tried the last time, if you remember all the protests on the streets. So, I mean, that's the obvious behavioural change really happens when you tax things or when you charge for it. I can't see that happening in Ireland. And Simon Harris said a couple of weeks ago that there was no plan for the government to increase water charges. But he also said that we'd build 40,000 houses last year and that didn't happen. So that's the obvious one. So I think I can't really see that happening in fairness, but I do think we need, it's just a question of making, prioritising expenditure on behalf of the government and to give Uisge Éireann what it needs, you know, to fix the pipes.
Now, do we have the capacity within Uisge Éireann to do this and do it at an appropriate speed? Because, you know, we're told until I think a couple of days ago that there wasn't capacity in the building industry. And then the builders are telling us, in fact, there is, and we're not being utilised properly. But has Irish Water got the capacity to get all this done?
Yeah, well, Irish Water, you know, outsources all the work too. You'll see the vans around the place. You know, Irish Water outsources work. It doesn't really do a huge amount of hands-on work itself. So the question is there the capacity in the local authorities to do this or in the industry, you know, the broader private sector construction industry itself to do this? And I don't really know the answer. It's the honest answer, Pat. But I suspect what might happen is that developers will get paid in order to repair any pipes that on lands that they're building on or plan to build on themselves. I have a feeling that that's what will happen. We'll kind of outsource the solution to the private sector.
Trust them? So would you trust them to do it like the Victorians and do something that'll last 70 to 100 years?
Yeah, I mean, again, like all these things, if you hand it to the private sector, you know, the minimum is the maximum, Pat, and they'll do the least that they can to get away with it. So that means that we have to go out and inspect everything that they do then. And at that stage, you'd wonder, would we not be better off doing it ourselves if we could?
Yeah, and of course that inspection has got to be rigorous and thorough. You've got to have the right inspector with the right mindset not to let things slide.
Yeah, and we know from our septic tanks last year, like there's 500,000 septic tanks in the country. We inspected 1,390, that's all.
Just repeat that stat because that's it's disgusting really, but we have a total number of...
About 492,000 septic tanks in the country
and
we inspected 1,390 last year and half of them
failed.
That's
a joke.
Yeah, half of them failed, which means they're leaking, like, you know, fecal matter and all that kind of stuff.
Now, if you're doing a survey of the population, it's regarded, you know, for the Sunday Independent or whatever, that 1,000 is a good sample, right? So,
yeah.
And that's a sample of a population of 5 million that gives you representative stats. So, therefore, 1,500 septic tanks is a representative sample of the 490,000, which would indicate to us that over 200,000 of these septic tanks are in bad nick and not doing the job and therefore polluting groundwater.
Yeah, closer to over 250,000, Pat. Yeah, absolutely. And the water then, see, the problem then is that water seeps into the water table. Sorry, the leakage from the septic tanks seeps into your water table, which will go into your well, which you are then opening the tap in your kitchen sink in rural Ireland and getting your water from. So it is a huge issue, the fact that people don't maintain their septic tanks. And I know myself from dealing with a septic tank in my mum's house that sometimes the tanks aren't even on your own ground and you have to be, you know, you have to make the effort to go out and get it cleaned every few years. And a lot of people obviously don't do that. So that's another huge issue for the non-urban parts of Ireland.
Now, looking to future-proof, we talked about the vulnerability of the Dublin area and we know they were refurbing the Vartry Tunnel because that was a catastrophe just waiting to happen if that was to collapse. Now, I believe they've fixed that. Have they got a pipe within a pipe kind of thing to sort out the Vartry Tunnel?
I don't know, but what I do know in Dublin City, so the Greater Dublin area gets about 80% of its water from Vartry Reservoir and from the River Liffey, and it comes up into Leixlip and it's processed in Leixlip there, the treatment plant, and it goes out all over the place there. Dublin City gets about 85% just from the River Liffey, which means that as climate changes, Pat, you know, the summers get warmer and all that kind of stuff, if there is some sort of drop in water levels in the River Liffey, or if there's any form of a drought or heat wave or whatever, there's a huge amount of houses, you know, there's a million homes at risk of having less reduced water or no water in their taps, because we've put all our eggs in the Dublin city area in the River Liffey, and which makes us increasingly susceptible, and you know, to any sort of kind of climate issues or water shortages.
Now, if they did get the leakage down to 25% from its current level, that would give us some headroom in terms of growth over the next little while. Then add in all that water every day from the Shannon, which, I mean, I know there were people complaining about stealing the West water for Dublin, but it would amount to a couple of centimetres in the level. I mean, there's plenty of water in the West to ship over. If we did that, reduce the leaks, and then got the water from Partheen, how far into the future could we develop?
I think that really, Pat, it still doesn't give us a whole lot of headroom, because remember, we keep having babies, which is great, and our population is growing at quite a rate, which is all wonderful because we need people to have babies and all that kind of stuff. But that all puts a demand on the water system and the water network and infrastructure. So I think even with the Partheen Basin, 350 extra million litres a day into the Dublin area, that brings us up to 850 million, 900 million. But the pace of growth, though, is kind of outpacing even the delivery of water. So we need a lot of Partheen Basin, and that pipe will go so far. And if our demographic increases level off, we'll probably be fine. But if our population, and this is all part of our economic success, Pat, you know that we're an attractive country to live in some respects, and an attractive country for people to move to and all that kind of stuff, which is great, and they all pay tax, but it's also puts pressure on our infrastructure, particularly our water. So it's a kind of a tricky question to answer, you know, but I think that it'll just about keep our head above water, really, even with this, you know, even with the leakage and the Partheen pipeline.
Yeah. Now, going back to the proposed easing of planning regulations about that shed in the back garden and the attic conversion and all the rest of it, the devil will be in the detail. I mean, in theory, it could be adding loads of housing units. But in fact, in terms of pressure on water and pressure on sewage treatment, I mean, all of those people are currently having their sewage treated somewhere. It depends where they poo, if you like. But they could be living in the box room, and now they will have a little more comfort in the back garden. They're probably drinking the same amount of water wherever they're procuring it, be it in the office or at their temporary home. So is that initiative going to put pressure on water and sewage processing?
Well, I think if you have extra kitchens and things like that, it probably will. But the runoff water is a serious one. And I've spoken to Ishgairn about this myself. The runoff water is a big issue, because all these things will sit on concrete plinths, and a lot of people will concrete over their back gardens. To be honest with you, Pat, I mean, if we let this happen, if we let people build sheds out in their back gardens willy-nilly, the local authorities will lose control over who's living where and therefore what services to provide. But also we'll end up with shanty towns because, you know, people will be building what they want, where they want. You can't really have that going on in a society, you know, without being able to kind of manage the demand and where people are and what services are needed in places. You know?
Now, Lorcan, I'll read you some of the comments. Why are we still building houses with no water collection systems? And that's absolutely true. Brand new houses.
100%.
And some of them without solar panels, which is another outrage. Perhaps the solution to the water issue used to build water reservoirs. Fly into any airport in Spain or Portugal and you'll see many reservoirs from above. What a novel idea of keeping water instead of letting it flow out to sea. That's George and Skibbereen. Scope for that, by the way. You know, you've got to flood valleys and things like that to create natural reservoirs.
Yeah, and there's lots of interesting examples around the world, particularly Wales, where there's a couple of reservoirs, and at the bottom of the reservoirs are villages that they had to flood, old mining villages and things that they flooded 50, 60 years ago to do that. I mean, there are solutions out there, but we all come back to the one thing, Pat, which is this all involves investment and spending taxpayers' money effectively, you know, to do this. And I think that's the problem going back, you know, 30, 40, 50 years, is this fear of spending money. You know, we have a kind of a funny thing. We'll give developers loads of money to build apartments that nobody really wants. And at the same time, you know, we won't spend money on, you know, the basics of water in, water out, you know, infrastructural development.
One of the main things preventing development of houses is a lack of water infrastructure investment due primarily to the left-wing Sinn Féin Anti-Water Charges Coalition, the most vocal opponents of government housing policy, and yet they contributed greatly to the problem. That's from Paul in Dublin. Much of the blame lies with those politicians who oppose the concept of water charges. from John. There was a billing regulation before Irish Water was set up that new builds had to have a water butt to be used on toilets and washing machines. This was removed when Irish Water was set up. We wouldn't be in this position if that billing reg had stayed. Is that the case?
I bet you, Pat, that was removed by, and I don't know, but I would bet you a tenner that that was removed because of lobbying from the construction industry. On the charges issue, it's interesting, the charges and usage, interesting. What you see when water charges are introduced, you do see a dip in usage, but then it reverts to the mean, as the statisticians would say. You find the usage going back up again. So charges really don't have much of an effect on usage. I would just put that out there, you know, that the water usage dips and then it goes back to the mean, much like, you know, the introduction of speed cameras and speed vans.
All right. Well, Lorcan, you've certainly stimulated our listeners. I have dozens and dozens of texts, which I'll bring to our listeners a little bit later on. But for the moment, Dr. Lorcan, sir, senior lecturer in housing at TU Dublin. Lorcan, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.